And like one of those songs on that record, and the way like a melody over a riff hit me was like, actually, like I was trying not to cry on the fucking school bus because
Wow.
it was like, it was just so moving, you know? And it was like, I didn't know that you could do that with heavy music. I just moved to Valley Stream, and so I finally have my own like office situation, but I've only been here for a couple days, so I haven't had time to really get it, you know, nice and
Yeah.
like set up or anything.
Is this your spot, your room? This is like the
Yeah.
music room
Yeah, I got my good little guitar. It's like my
stand.
gut. I don't have everything set up yet, but I got my big guitar stand thingy. I have a few more guitars that I can bring.
I'm trying to book myself, my group, some shows for the spring and the summer, and I stumbled across 89 North. And I thought to myself, oh shit, that's the
That's a
first
nice
time I.
venue. I haven't been there in a long time.
Yeah, I've only been there one time, and it was probably 10 years ago, and that was my first time seeing you guys live. And even piecing together that John Carbone from high school was in a band. So it was kind of cool. I was like, oh shit, John's in a band. It's called Moontooth. These guys are sick.
You saw us at 89 North where we were in dresses.
You were not in dresses, no.
I guess we played there twice because one of them was a Halloween show or something, and we were wearing my wife's dresses. She lent us our dresses, and I think John or Ray ripped one of them up like on accident just for being a little too big for the dress. So I guess it wasn't that show. But yeah, 89 North is a cool venue. I haven't been there in a while, even beyond this situation, but that's cool. Are you trying to book a show there?
Yeah, because I'm putting out some singles over the next couple weeks, and stuff that I did at Westfall, and
Cool.
yeah, I want to book some shows. And what's funny is like I'm only revisiting this booking stuff for the first time in many years, and it's making me realize that there is like absolutely no rock venues by where I live in Westchester County, but Long Island has like feels like they had like five.
Yeah,
Like
I mean, it's
there's
kind
like
of sad that five is a lot for how long, big Long
how
Island
big it
is.
is. Yeah.
Because I mean, I was talking the other day, it was like Revolution's gone. I don't know, like there's a few that have closed, but 89 North is sticking around. But that's cool that I mean, you approached them for a show. Did they at least get
I mean,
back to you and?
only just last night I sent them an email.
Okay.
But
Yeah.
yeah.
I
Does
know we
Milk
talked about it a little bit. There's no like real like one way to book a show. You can just, you can
yeah,
ask
it's
them
really
for a date.
strange. It's really strange kind of coming back into it, especially because I've reached out to a couple of bands who might want to play with me. It's a couple other Long Island bands. Dara is one of them.
Oh yeah, Austin, right?
I spoke to Austin. A couple other bands, but
We had the same guitar teacher growing up,
oh
and
really?
who's in Riot with.
Oh cool. Yeah, they're cool. I liked talking to Austin. So yeah, I mean, I'm trying to get a couple other guys on board just to fill up a set. What's funny is that the bands that I talked to, like Austin even, was like, oh, you mean you should have no problem just kind of saying that, you were never forthright and you're looking to play some shows again. And I'm like, man, I've tried that. That does not work one tiny bit.
I don't know. I mean, I had a lot of different experiences when I was booking shows for Moontooth. Sometimes, like we were talking about, like sometimes it would help to be like, hey, I have four bands, they're all down, will you give us this date? Or what dates do you have available? Or,
Yeah.
and it's like there was never really like a one great way to do it. It would always depend on the venue or the talent buyer for the venue. Long Island was, hit or miss with certain spots, and then when I would be like, all right, Moontooth is playing in Chicago, and then we're playing in wherever, like, I don't know, we're planning fucking somewhere else, 2 days later. That's I need to fill in a gap, right? So I need a specific date. So then I'd really need to hit local bands and be like, I need you for this date,
So would you like you would you Google like local like Minnesota rock band and just pick one out of a hat? Like
I would pretty much hit up at like as many as I could find because,
bands
if
you've
I
never
hit
heard
up,
of before?
I would listen to them sometimes. I would see like who had the most followers and shit. I mean, this is like 10 days, 10 years ago, in some cases, but yes, I mean, bands I never heard of, we made a lot of friends just from doing that. But or if I knew one band, if I got a response from one band that was like, oh, you guys are cool, we'd like to play with you, I could be like, all right, cool. Can you send me more bands, or can you help me find bands? Because it seemed to always be like, all right, we need a band for Friday, January 2nd. I mean, if we're hitting up a venue saying we need Friday, January 20th, because we have the 19th and the 21st filled, we need the 20th. Like, that's the date. Otherwise, we're going to be just kind of like sitting around in a fucking gas station parking lot until we can go to, whatever, wasting money on a shitty hotel room, whatever it is. So if you always had better luck approaching them being like, hey, I got us and three local bands who are sick already. All you have to do is like fill the date. And then you do the same thing that you do with the venue, the bands that you. With the venues, you have to hit up as many venues as you could find. And yeah, Google at the time, Facebook, I guess Instagram a little bit at the time. And yeah, I mean, whatever was around, it's kind of, and then sometimes I would just put, in general, whatever you could do to kind of just put your thing out there, and just hope that somebody would respond, I mean, you're a fucking ripping guitar player, so you should be able to like
At least
post a
send them a
video.
YouTube video, yeah.
Yeah, you should be able to put something out there and get responses at least. Hey, can you help me? I'll help. Or, and the other thing is trading, right? Trade shows. Oh, I'll help you in Long Island, or I'll help you in Brooklyn or New York City as much as I can when you need to come here. At least put that out there. And then you got to come back to the venue and be like, how much money are you going to offer us, if anything? It's a fun game. I mean, it's not like, but like, for Long Island, it's like you're a local, you're a local band with a following, so it shouldn't be like, it's not the same as like hitting up somebody in Chicago or whatever.
Yeah, I was looking at my stats on Instagram actually, and a large percentage is like the I don't think they break it down further than just New York City. I maybe Long Island is bunched into New York City, but yeah, New York City is by far and away the biggest chunk of my following. And then like way, way, way beneath that is like Toronto. I don't know, I just thought that was interesting. So it's like I was like, wait, so I have six people that listen to me in Chicago and 600 in New York? That's kind of weird.
And what do you use to get the stats?
On Instagram, just like the if you click on insights, you can click total followers, and then somewhere on there is a breakdown of where your audience is coming from.
Okay. Yeah, that's cool.
You just can't pick and choose where your people are gonna find you, but
Yeah,
yeah.
sometimes I would just kind of like throw it out there at random, and then sometimes I would just, if I, just spend too much time on the fucking internet and just happen across bands I liked, I wish I could remember specifics, but it's like, hey, like Immortal Bird is the band in Chicago that I just, I think is really sick, and they're in Chicago. It's like I may have just found them by just flipping through, pages, or just, like just following Metal Sucks or whatever, Metal Injection or whatever it is, and just they will do little things of like new bands that are sick, and you just kind of make little lists, make little databases of venues and bands in each city, and you start in the East Coast, and because where you're from, you work up and down the East Coast, and then you work west or whatever you want to do, however, how long do you want to be out, how long do you want to go? But if you're on Long Island, it's like you should be asking for like a guarantee, and like, hey, if I'm giving you a show, I should get some money for this, this day. But like we used to do like, beeries, and like the like was sick, and they would always take care of us. It's not a huge venue, but they would always take care of us. There used to be a pool hall in Belmore that was not a huge venue, but we'd always get a guarantee, and they'd take care of us. So it always depends on what you're after.
Yeah, I saw Gojira and Mastodon are playing, and it was like $100 something. So I was like, fuck. But I know that's gonna sell out too, so part of me wants to buy like 10 tickets and resell them.
I saw Mastodon a couple times many years ago. I'm trying to remember what the dates were, what the tours were. I saw Mastodon open for Slayer when the Leviathan had just come out, I think, and they were getting Slayered, which is funny to think about now because I was a kid. They were getting like Slayer. They were getting like booed basically. But I was really into them. It's funny that comes up because me and Ray were talking about how in high school, like we were so into the Leviathan record, and that was such a big deal for us, and now it's like that's so long ago now. We feel fucking old, and like now kids are like, well, what Mastodon records should I listen to? They have so many records, and they've been doing it for so long. It's such a different thing.
Well, what is like the new generation of, like, I put on Moontooth Radio on Spotify the other day, and I heard one band I kind of liked was Greyhaven. Is that
I've heard
right?
that name. I'm not familiar with them though. I don't know. We get mixed with prog, and there's some hard rock stuff and maybe some stoner rock stuff. I don't, I'm not sure.
I almost feel like it's hard not to get mixed into prog at this point. Like,
Yeah.
I feel like you go see a metal band and half of it is gonna be prog, and then there's gonna be one band with a screaming singer, and there's gonna be a band like you guys. It's just gonna be a whole mixed bag
Yeah,
of stuff.
I mean, prog has become sort of one of those generic kind of things when it comes to labeling bands. That's why I don't really use it when people ask us what, I don't know what to say when people ask what we sound like,
Hard rock, classic
Hard
rock.
rock, yeah, rock. It's a rock
Rock.
band, but that doesn't mean anything either,
Doesn't mean anything. All right. I really don't like to answer that question.
There's
Like, I don't
enough,
know.
like, there's a lot of different genres of
Jazz.
metal to
Like heavy jazz.
play
It's
around
just
with.
sounds stupid. Oh, I wanted to ask you, how do you as a guitar player cope with something like Instagram? Like, does it feel overwhelming to be on Instagram ever? Do you try to make like use it sparingly? Because I find it becomes more and more of an active task for me to focus on my art, like the art that I want to put into the world. The older I get and the more music that I hear, I have to kind of I've started journaling to help me stay true to the music that I like and my artistic vision, because it's so hard to not be influenced by this guy who's so great at this and this other guy who's so great at that, and this guy's fast, should I be faster? This guy's slow, should I embrace more melody, slow melody? This guy's rhythmic stuff is so good, should I do that? And but you can't do everything, and I was curious how you approach that or think about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny since I've come out of the hospital, I come out of a coma. I was joking with like Ray about just calling my phone the depression rectangle, and it's just kind of like it's easy to kind of like flip through and just feel just bummed out, like because like you said, you can't do everything, and especially if you get set back, health wise, you know, it's like it takes a while to come back to what you were. And but you comparing yourself to other players is not not ever really, I don't know, or unless you're just kind of like looking for inspiration, you know, something new. You know, I we got to do some a short tour with Animals as Leaders, which obviously every night I was like, you know, like, well, I'm never gonna be able to do that shit. So I keep watching those two guys, and I didn't get to hang too much with them, but Toes on the last night, I kind of like, you know, punished him a little bit, and I was just like, how did, you know, what was your inspiration to get, you know, to play the way that you play? And he was like, man, I just like, I liked like Nirvana growing up. And I was like, you know, like that was just fucking the last thing I thought he was going to say. But it's so like honest and just kind of like, it really just, you just should just be, just kind of like, I don't know, just play what comes naturally to you and just, you know, not worry about like being impressive. And, mm-hmm. But I definitely feel like, I've felt more, the Instagram thing is more like, oh, I need to post a video in order to be taken seriously. And then that shit is annoying. And just like, but it can be looked at two ways. On one side, it's like, well, you know, you shouldn't like feel like you need to post a fucking video on social media to be taken seriously as a musician. That's only been for the last like, what, 20, 30, 40, not even, I don't know, 20 years, 30 years. And then, but the other way is like, you should be, you know, you're kind of pushed to play better, to practice more, you know, whatever pushes you to like become a better musician, you know, that's a good thing in one way, but it's not a comparison thing.
It really shouldn't be. And I think it's healthy. Like the sooner you get that in your head, probably the better you're going to feel about yourself. And that will then turn into like a more confidence in the music that you're writing and stuff. I was reading this, there's this guitar player. He's been around for a very long time. He's probably in his 70s. This guy, Bill Frisell. And I was reading his book. He's a jazz guy, but he's done a lot of experimental stuff and punk stuff. And like, he's been all over the place. And somewhere in the book, he says something like, along the lines of like, what are we even talking about when you compare yourself to someone else? Like, that's stupid. I think the exact words were, what are we even talking about? Which is just such like, don't even talk to me about this. This is so silly.
Yeah, I mean, coming out of this thing where I'm kind of rediscovering a lot of music, like Hetfield is like one of my biggest influences from when I was a kid, and trying to play some of the shit on "And Justice for All" and like actually trying to downpick that shit is actually absolutely insane. And it's like, you know, that to me is more kind of fun and like challenging and than trying to like, I don't know, just play like the most wild solo prog thing, because it's just more, I don't know, it just gets more aggression out, and just kind of like, that's what I grew up trying to do, you know, that's what inspired me to play guitar more than anything is that band and those records. So, and that's not usually what people talk about when they talk about the best guitar players, you know what I mean? And so what you're saying is like, what are we talking about? It's like, it's less about, you know, how do you even explain? It's like, who knows like the most tricky arpeggio thing? It's like, no, like who can just write the meanest riff that like actually gets you like kind of stoked,
fired,
you know?
Up.
Just me and Ray last night, we're talking about, you know, Mastodon and you know, as opposed to like things that are super shreddy, you know, like Leviathan, like that record, you know, I remember I have a specific memory of being on a school bus like 10th grade or something, and I'm being on like a fucking like field trip, and like one of those songs on that record, and the way like a melody over a riff hit me was like actually like I was trying not to cry on the fucking school bus because
Wow.
it was like it was just so moving, you know? And it was like I didn't know that you could do that with heavy music, you know? And
Yeah.
then you know over the years I figured I didn't know you could do that with heavy music. And then you know over years I found out about bands like Neurosis and Melvins and stuff like that. But you know I none of the and they were, I loved all those bands too, but none of them did that same way that record did that, you know? And so it's like this as far as like comparing, you know, my playing to other people, I'd rather be able to do that. Like I'd rather be able to write a song, you know, than play faster than somebody else on Instagram or whatever. But that's just me, you know. Like it's you know,
Yeah, it's all
there are
apples and
people I know
oranges.
that I'll never play faster than. That's cool, you know. You're probably one of them. You think you are one of them.
I mean, well, that's not even my objective. Like, I just want to play cool stuff that makes me happy. I wouldn't even classify myself as like a shred guy. Like my heroes are, Wayne Krantz, Kurt Rosenwinkel, some of these. I wouldn't even really say Holdsworth until recently. Kreisberg. These are just New York City raised jazz guys, and then
Yeah, send
that's.
me some of that stuff because I'm not familiar with that stuff. I would love. I'm like you know more after. I want to hear just new music. You know, that's more exciting for me at this point than like shredding. And you know.
I do come off as an Instagram like thought sometimes, though, mainly out of necessity because, I'm not playing out very often these days, and I'm writing cool things and riffs, and I need some way for people to hear what I'm working on to stay relevant.
Yeah, that's cool.
I wouldn't do it if it didn't bring some kind of benefit to me either. Like I could post something and sometimes get 10 new followers. Like why wouldn't I post what I'm practicing if it means more people are going to follow me?
Oh yeah, I didn't mean, and I didn't mean to make it sound
No, of
like I
course
was
not. No,
putting
no,
down that at
no.
all.
No. I
Like
asked the question.
that's cool. That's that. There's nothing wrong with that, you know. I wish I could come up with stuff like that more often, and that eventually will be, you know, where you know I will end up. And sometimes I feel like, oh, I should do this more, you know, like to get more people to follow Moontooth and stuff like that,
Yeah,
you
but
know.
there's also guys. I know you follow Wes Howe. I spoke to him on the phone like probably a year ago about
He's a
how
fucking monster.
he shreds. Yeah, about how
Yeah.
he approaches social media, and he's like, I post like once a month, and it's kind of true. He does a lot of reposting. Like people will record him at his shows, and he'll repost it. But you don't really see very many clips of him just kind of propping up his phone and playing in his practice space. He doesn't do it very often.
Yeah, I mean, I follow him and I love watching him play just because he's like, you know, he's just tasty. And this fucking, I love Zakk Wylde. I grew up on Zakk Wylde, you know, he was a huge influence growing up. But like this whole Pantera thing, I've said this a million times and maybe this is an obvious thing, but I feel like Wes should be doing that fucking, that tour, that Pantera tour. I feel like he should, I think he's the guy.
Yeah, he's the
Just
guy.
because he's got like the speed and he's got the fucking
He's got the
the
attitude.
vibrato and he's just got and he's got I just feel like he's got the fucking Zach does it he's got it you know of course he's got it and they're friends like I get it but I just feel like Wes is just it would be if you asked me that's who I would you know who I would ask to do I would think should do it.
And I asked the question originally about what you thought about kind of how you manage all of these external I don't want to call them influences. What do I call them? All these just external, I don't know, musicians. Because whenever I've seen you play, I've enjoyed watching Moontooth play, because I was always like, oh, Nick knows exactly what he wants to do on the guitar, and that's why I really, really like him as a guitar player, and I like this band. And it's so funny, all the nonsense that could go inside your own head as a artist slash guitar player is like, oh, people would want me would like my music more if I just had a bit more of this, or maybe a bit more of that, or a bit more of this. And often you're just making noise in your own head, and your audience isn't thinking of it that way. I mean,
No.
I would hope that the majority of the people that listen to my music are thinking, oh, Nick knows exactly what he wants to sound like, which isn't entirely true in my own head, but I hope that when they listen to my music, they're thinking, oh, cool, he's found his sound, and it's coming off true and sincere, which is the point. But it is challenging for me to say, okay, not this, not this, not this, not this, not this. Like, I'll take a bit of that.
Yeah, I mean, there's the writing portion of it, and then there's the tone portion of it, you know, and then there's where those two things collide, which is the live playing live thing, and that's exciting. And then, but I have Ray in my band too, who is an engineer and also an awesome guitar player and writer, you know, and writes, you know, at least a few songs on every record, you know, is at least, you know. That throws a riff at me, then it's in some weird fucking tuning, and then like I have to like take, you know, a week to learn it, you know, because it's so fucking weird. But yeah, I mean, I wish I could remember what this is called. I'm gonna have to remember this, but so and my wife is a yoga instructor, and there's a certain thing if you're trying to balance, like I have one leg, if you're standing and you have one leg over the other and you're doing this thing. If you want to not fall over, you stare at one thing, one corner of the wall, you know, whatever, and one thing of, and you don't break that. It just doesn't matter what it is, but you don't break that, you know, that
Focus,
focus,
yeah.
you know, instead of looking around and thinking about what am I going to have for dinner and what am I going to do for tomorrow. And since I've been out of that, you know, back to playing, that's been really helping me is to channel that into guitar. And that's what you just said made me think of is kind of like don't think about like, oh, what if you fuck this up and you know what are you gonna have to do with your pedal board when you get back and you know just try to like everything in life being like you know about that one moment and you know and just be about that's always been a hard thing for me. And when it comes to everything, but especially in guitar, is like trying to make this about this specific moment. You know, you're in the verse, okay, now you're in the chorus, and now you're in the bridge, and whatever, you know. And it's like, you know, don't get beyond that, you know. And it's one thing that like the other guys in my band, you know, they're happy that I'm alive because that could have not happened too. And they're just like, let's just make sure that we stay in the moment and have fun because that's supposed to be what this is about. It's not supposed to be about you're as good as somebody else or you're on this tour or your record does this well on Spotify or whatever. It's supposed to be about you're enjoying yourself and you're with your friends, you know, and that's, or, you know, even if you're doing it by yourself, but it's like, you know, you get better every year and you have goals and you know, doesn't mean that you don't get better and have goals, but you're like supposed to be enjoying yourself. It should be about that, you know. That should be a part of it. It shouldn't be about like, man, I'm never gonna have as many followers on Instagram. Like, you know, like
That's all the shit that you have to put aside as the artist, and realize that your fans aren't thinking that. No one is thinking, oh,
right.
I wish Moontooth had more followers on Spotify. Like, the fans don't give a shit. You give a shit, but the fans just love Moontooth because they sound sick.
Right. Exactly. And it's like if I fuck up something in a verse or whatever, solo or something, and that ruins a song for me, you know, the people in the crowd are like probably they immediately forget that.
As a matter of fact, I've seen lots of it's pretty prevalent in Prague, like real notey Prague bands. Like, you can just like smell the insecurity coming off of the band. You know, you ever see like a really scared, timid guitar player who's just trying to play stuff that's w way out of their thing, and you know, or I mean, not to be mean, but if they just kind of had fun and, again, just played in the moment, played things that they were comfortable with, the overall the audience would probably have a better time. The music would come off
Yeah,
more
I mean, I'd
enjoyable.
rather. I mean, this is just me personally, but I'd rather see you jump off of a monitor than nail every single fucking note of a solo. But you know,
Yeah.
I grew up loving Pantera and you know watching those videos and you know the Big Four. And I honestly grew up more loving thrash and like grunge and things that were like not really about.
The flashiness.
Yeah, and perfection. You know, that was never really like about, that was never really, never something that I like was looking for in a band. I was always just looking for like songwriting and just a mood, you know, that was always kind of something that like, you know, you would play a song again because there was something about it that you wanted to hear again. It had some kind of mood. It was mean or it had, you know, like Alice in Chains or something like that. You know, it's like that song had like some kind of fucking like just mean grumpiness that just
Big
this
vibe,
I
yeah,
haven't
just,
heard in anything else, you know. But
yeah.
that's me, you know. Everybody's like entitled to love what they love and you know, it doesn't mean I haven't loved like a solo and you know, in a certain way either, but it's just not like I like challenging myself. And I had a great guitar teacher, Mike Flintz, who I play with now or was playing with in Riot, you know, and he is a fucking ripping guitar player, you know, and not only in metal, but he can pretty much do everything, you know. He was well trained and he plays in not only in Riot but also in like tribute bands and cover bands and you know he does everything you know and so like I was lucky to have a good teacher but then I got to college and hated that shit to be honest like this was not what I wanted to get I got into music for I got into music to tour and be play music with my friends and write songs that's what I wanted to do you know.
Yeah, you've mentioned one time to me that like the playing live is like the pinnacle. You know, you put in all the work so that way you can go play a live, like a killing live show.
That's what I miss the most right now, you know. That's what I want to be able to do.
That is how you, that I said that correctly, right? Like, is that how you think?
I think so. But that could be different for different people. But yeah, I mean, for me and for I think I could say for the rest of Moontooth is like that's what we want to do. We want to tour. I
Yeah.
think that's and also it's like. When I put shit on, you know, Instagram, like I might hit that fucking video like 300 times before I'm like, okay, that's the one. Okay, that's good enough, you know. You know, sometimes I get lucky and I can get it in a couple takes, but it's like, you know, if I play.
But that's everyone, by the way. I've asked like really great guitar players the same question. Like you're sitting there playing. You know, you posted that sick thing on Instagram. How many takes were you doing that? And they're like, dude, that was all fucking day. I was recording that to get
Yeah.
that post. And everyone thinks that I just propped it up and pff, blasted it out.
Right.
Like, you know,
You
a lot
just,
of.
yeah, I mean, it's a good way to practice, honestly. I was trying to do it yesterday. I Revere is the first track on our last record, and it's like the last like 30 seconds of that song was like the hardest thing I think I've ever written. It's not a guitar solo, and it's just like I remember before this whole encephalitis thing hit me being like, why the fuck did I write this? Like, this is so difficult to play. And that might be not for everybody, but for me it is. And now I'm back to that. And it was like just trying to, I couldn't get the full video, but the, and you know, but it, you know, whatever. That was a good way to kind of push myself to stay focused is like, you know, try to get it. You know, that's a good way. It's a good way to practice, you know?
Yeah, that's like every Everforthright riff I ever wrote was, why the fuck did I write this?
Yeah.
And now with my own, just with my solo project stuff, it's way more. The stuff that I'm writing is way more. Actually, I do a lot of writing now just by holding the guitar for a period of time, maybe referencing like a chord progression or like a simple idea, and just kind of riffing for however long it takes, 30 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, just kind of having fun sitting there with the guitar and seeing what comes out naturally. And Then when something feels like, oh shit, I like how that sounds. I often, can't really explain it. Like, oh, what are you thinking there? Like, what was the rhythmic, whatever? What was the chord progression you were referencing to do that? After a certain point, it doesn't even matter. I've just been sitting there for an hour, just noodling on the guitar, having fun, and eventually something sounds really cool that I keep on going back to, and that's what gets recorded. That's a new way of writing. That's a brand new way of writing for me that feels super, super organic because I can't explain w the origin of. I mean, I guess I could tell you what influenced me to start my journey to that riff, but I can't really tell you what it is verbatim. I'm just having fun playing the guitar, and I played something that I liked, and so I kept on playing it.
That's always seems like the best way for things to happen, but it's like sometimes it takes weeks and sometimes it happens in a day, and it's like where it just sort of like it falls in your lap, and a chord progression becomes a thing that just becomes a song. And then sometimes it's like it's something that lingers and it takes a week or two to kind of come together. Actually, for the first time ever, probably because I have to take all these fucking meds, but I've had wild dreams and I've actually woken up with chord progressions and things in my head. And I've actually been the first time ever woken up with like a riff that I had to get up and tab. And my wife was like, "What the fuck are you doing?" And I had to like go, "I just need to do this right now." And
Oh,
then
that's
I
funny.
just like recorded it on my phone and I sent it to John and just be like, "Dude, write something to this." John is
Well,
great at like, by the way, is like great at being like, he wants material, like he wants me to send him shit,
so we can
so
just
like
go.
to write music and lyrics too. One thing I've wanted to get back to was I started doing vocal lessons. Now that we've moved down here, I gotta figure that out again, but I was like, all right, I got a little more time right now. Let me try vocal lessons. Let me try something new. Let me try, because that's never been something I can like yell into a microphone. I could occasionally hit a vocal, or I can hit a melody like in key or whatever and hit the notes I'm supposed to, but never been my strong point. So I would like to add a skill set while I'm kind of like, I'm kind of like needing some, I need to fill some time,
I was actually thinking writing something recently, like, oh, I could really use another layer of melody here. I could sing it, but I hate my voice and I'm definitely not a singer. And then I kind of went down this vocoder route for a little bit. I was Googling like guitar vocoder pedals and things, and it's funny the videos that you come across on YouTube when typing something like best guitar vocoder pedal, the amount of shitty pedal reviews that you see, like it's so
I get
funny.
impatient with shit like that, to be honest. I'm not.
I was like, this is awful. There's not a single good demonstration of any of these pedals.
I really can't. I just, I'll tell you the one thing that I want to be able to do. The real reason I wanted to be able to do that is it's like, I spent my whole fucking life, most of my life, playing the guitar. And I want to be able to sit at an open mic night and play a couple, like two or three songs and sing along. And it's like, it's hard to do. I can sit there and like play a bunch of guitar songs,
But you
but
can't
like,
sing.
I want to be able to sit and fucking sing, I learned a fucking Tom Waits song and I loved it, but it's so fucking hard. It really didn't matter if I hit it perfectly, but that's something that I want to be able to do. Part of it is getting over being a fucking wimp about singing in front of people with no help, and part of it is just it's just not an easy thing to do. I didn't do chorus growing up. I didn't do it. I got to my and when I was in high school, I was like, when you get, are you gonna join chorus? I did music theory instead of chorus. But when I asked my mother, like, "Hey, I want to join chorus," she was like, "Nah, we put you, we bought you a guitar. That's what you're
That's
doing."
right.
And it was just whatever. And then I got to college, and then that first semester, doing music performance, they put me in chorus was mandatory, and you had to do Bach, and it was like all these 16th note runs, and it was just like, wildly complicated for me as far as
That's not what you
like
wanted to be singing.
singing. And it was like 200 people in this chorus, and I remember just being like, please don't
200.
call, because they would do like so and so, like, just sing measure 242 for us, and I would just be like,
Oh
oh
shit.
my God, don't call me, I'm so afraid.
You should bring that to the coffee shop.
That would be, nobody wants to hear that, trust me.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I've wanted to do the same thing, but it's a whole nother skill set that I'd have to work on. I'm busy enough right now trying to put together a set for this music, and that takes a lot of
Takes a long
practice.
time.
I gotta get my pedal changes sorted out. There's a bunch of different tones, and I have to schedule rehearsals, and I have to write up some sheet music because these guys are, they're not really. It's the kind of music where I kind of have to write it down and give it to someone to practice in advance. Cool, Nick. Well, thanks for hanging out. Awesome catching up with you, and we'll catch you hopefully soon.
Yeah, thank you, Nick, Omar. Appreciate you having me.